Aren't you glad we're tithers? Look what the Lord has done. Glory be to Jesus. Well, we're going to honor our veterans this morning. We do this every year and recognizing and honoring our veterans, thanking them for their service they've given us. Where did Lucky go? Lucky, go back there on my desk and see if I left my glasses laying back there. The devil stole. Sorry, devil. I blame everything on him. I don't care. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I had this little count. Thank you, sir. That he's got some little notes that some people left at the Vietnam Wall, where people had got them and put them on this calendar that I had on my wall. I keep it hanging there, probably out of date, but I don't care. See, I was in the Vietnam War. I relate to that. I was at the car show yesterday and had quite a few Vietnam vets there. We wear our hats, you know, says a Vietnam veteran on it. And every time I saw one, he'd come up and shake hands with me, and we'd usually hug, or we'd say, "Love you, brother. Glad you came home. Glad you made it." We have something in common. I mean, it touched me so much yesterday, it kind of brought tears in my eye. Back when you're young, it didn't hit you that much. When you get older, you think about, I had an opportunity to have a life. Average age of the soldiers, I'm saying this for so we'll appreciate our veterans. What's really the price that's paid for us to be Americans and to have the freedom. Vietnam War was the most unpopular war we ever fought. We came home. Even our sergeant told us, "Now, when we come back states, you men get, if I was traveling, my plane would be all right, but when you land or whatever, get those uniforms off, especially if you're traveling." They said this now, north of the Mason-Dixon line. Get your uniforms off, put civilian clothes on, because you will not be respected and you will not be appreciated. And I found that to be the truth. They were a whole group of people when we got off the plane in California, landed in Vietnam, hit the ground in February. I left 120 degrees temperature in Vietnam, landed in February in Washington, state of Washington. And I don't know how cold it was, but it felt like 120 below zero. And we had on summer thin clothes. I like froze to death. All of us were, and they brought us one little old blanket to cover up with in the room there, because they're in the barracks that we had to wait to get out, you know, get our orders where we was going and all that. But there's a group of people there in the airport and stuff. Had signs, had baby killers, said baby killers. They would throw things, spit at you. American, we didn't understand that. I didn't know what the war was. I didn't ever understand why we were there. None of the soldiers really did. What we fought for in Vietnam is probably is a lot of wars. We fought for each other. We had a camaraderie and a love for each other. We fought for each other because it's political war they fought. In the 60s, we almost lost this nation. We're living in the results of the 60s now, and we have digressed so much in America. If you lived in the 50s, if you understood the spirit of the 50s, or the World War II veterans, and they call that the best generation, greatest generation, it probably truly was. And that was after the 40s into the 50s. There's a different spirit on this land. It was a different, you could feel it. I didn't know it then, but I can feel now what it is and go back to then. It's totally different. Most people went to church. I think 80, 89% of the people in America went to church. Even the unbelievers, they reverenced God. They respected God. They loved God as much as they could. The unbelievers, they respected him. They didn't serve him, and he wasn't their Lord. But most unbelievers, I know in the South. But in the 60s, we had a rebellion. You know, in the late 50s, I think, I forget which magazine it was, Life magazine or one of the magazines came out with on the front page. It said, God is dead. And had an article on that, the way things were, that God had died. Then in the 60s, the Beatles came, and they said they were greater than God. You remember? Some of you don't remember that. I do. Said they were more popular. That's what it was. They were more popular than God. Then they wrote songs and it began to digress and people didn't know who God was. And further it got away and we didn't win the Vietnam War. And we came away with shamefaced, left those Vietnamese people. Hundreds of thousands of them died. Pol Pot came to Cambodia because of that, and he killed over 1 million people because America pulled out of Vietnam. I'm not saying they should have stayed there, but they shouldn't have done what they done. Political. They marched in the streets. George Soros, the one now that's active of trying to destroy America, he was one of the major instigators of the revolt in the 60s. He was paying protesters. He started this, and he stirred the young people. And it's through the music, through rebellion. Then you had the hippie movement. Hippies are not a thing in the world. I say this, and people think it's funny, whatever, and some of you might have been hippies, but you didn't know what you was doing. You just rode the wave. But the foundation or the heart of hippies is Hinduism. It's Hinduism. It's nature and Hinduism and peace without war and all this. And there's no such thing. Absolutely no such thing. And we find out in the Bible, if I have time, I'll show you this, that God, the Bible says God is a man of war. God is a God of war. He says in the book of Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, he set up capital punishment. He said, if a man kills another man, then he shall pay with his own life. Capital punishment. But man decides in America, we don't need God. We don't need God's law. We don't need God's way of telling us what to do. We know better. And so we create liberalism. That we know better than God. We don't need God. And so it's heartless. We don't have a heart if we put somebody to death, if they slaughtered and killed and murdered. And God said in his own word, you kill that man. You remove that man from society that the righteous may flourish. That the righteous may flourish. God's smarter than all of us. He was smarter than Israel when Israel thought they could survive without God and they didn't have to worship God. And all the other nations that came who thought they didn't have to worship God or serve God, they knew better than God. And all those nations are gone except Israel. And God, they paid a tremendous price for rejecting God. And God will deal with them final punishment and judgment. He will deal with Israel in the tribulation. The tribulation's about Israel, not about you, the church. It's a tremendous price for leaving God. He said, if you leave me and walk away from me, your nation will suffer. Righteousness exalts a nation. Amen? And he said, remove these things so the righteous can flourish. Now, God created nations. He started nations. He creates states because if one nation gets bad and a dictator comes and through communism and begins to socialism and begins to oppress the people and kill the people, you can escape and go to another nation that's a righteous nation. So he established America as his nation, as a righteous nation, made a covenant with America. There is a adversary called Satan. He is at war with God. God said, I'll create man and man will rule and have authority over you. And Satan said, I'll destroy man and I will rule the world. I will take over this world. He had the world one time. Everybody he ruled in the whole earth except Noah. He ruled the whole earth. Had every man. God said, it grieves me that I made man. I'll destroy man. And I'll start over with one righteous family, Noah. And he told Noah, now you replenish the earth and you spread righteousness. Wasn't long after that, he came back. He got into man again at the Tower of Babel. It didn't go far, 1,500 years. Man had already rejected God, set up a false religion. Following, in the Tower of Babel, God said, I have to confuse their languages. He confused their languages and made nations. But he's always wanted a people. And the original plan was Israel. You'll be my people. You'll be a special people. I will bless you. Man will see how much I bless you. They will see how much I honor you. The rest of the world will see that I'm a good God and I love you. And they'll benefit if they'll serve me. And he created Israel for that purpose. But Israel, the Bible says, with a whoring. That's what the Bible says, after other gods. And they wouldn't worship God. And God said he had to judge them and he had to take it away from them. And God started his church on the day of Pentecost and said, I'll have a church that will be my nation. And in that nation, it will spread my gospel to the world. And every man will see, because I'm good to my people and I love my people. And they will see the difference and they'll be jealous and they'll want to serve me. Now, he said, and the whole world, Satan was after the whole world, and he destroyed nation after nation after nation through men. The way Satan controls nations is through laws, through a wicked government. All the people of the nation are not bad, but he gets a wicked government, one man in a wicked government with wicked laws, and he suppresses the people, controls the people, and puts them in bondage. And the whole world... And so God created America for his church to live in, an incubator for his church. And he said, my church will be there. It will grow and it will flourish and it will spread my word to the world. Satan says, I will destroy America. How are you going to destroy America? Told Lester Summerall that the devil did. He said, I'll make the church dirty. I'll take the church. I'll get their eyes off God. I'll give them so much pleasure, so much prosperity. I'll give them so much to do, they'll forget God. And slowly but surely, I will elect men. First off, I'll control the schools. I'll control the news media. I'll control local governments. Then I'll groom me a man or a woman who will sit in the highest office in this nation. Then I'll create a government around that, and I'll make laws that will so oppress this people that I will shut the church down in America, and there'll be no more church, and there'll be no more America. Liberalism. I say this all the time. I don't care who it offends. I could care less. Is of the Antichrist spirit. If you study the very platform of it, everything about it is anti-God. How can anybody, a Christian, how can any Christian? Enough of that. But we see it in America. We see it digressing, and he's blinded to people. People don't even know. Israel didn't know until they went into captivity. Preachers would preach, and prophets would prophesy, and other prophets would come. Don't believe that. We're so prosperous, and we're so strong, and we're so mighty. No one can conquer us. No one can control us. Don't believe these people. And God had a man, Jeremiah, had Ezekiel, had Isaiah, and the next thing you know, they were in captivity. Slowly it went. Wonder how people thought back in the day before captivity. Wonder what the news media was saying. Not any different than where we're at, my brother and sister. So God created America, and he said, now, America, he said, there's no government, no authority except from me. Romans chapter 13. And God said, in that nation, I'll have my people and I'll have my preachers. But he said, you're going to have to defend that nation, because there'll be wicked nations and wicked people Satan will use. He'll raise up wicked governments and he'll make them strong. Japan, Germany, these other. And so they'll be wicked and they'll be controlled by a spirit, a demon spirit. And their whole objective is to destroy the very hub of my church. They'll want to destroy it. And he'll say, you'll have to fight. You'll have to fight. And when these rise up to destroy or try to get a hold on the nation or on the world or become a threat, then I'll raise up a mighty army, just like you always did. And that army will be the ones who will fight and shut down the enemy and whip the enemy to where you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, where you can serve your God and have freedom. And it's always been that way. But then you have a bunch of people come along and say, no, fight. Don't war. But yes, war is bad. And they'll march like they did in the 60s, and they'll do in government. He got in government. Got in that. And you see what's happened to our nation. Our nation's never been in the worst shape it's in. Even people today don't even realize. But there's been a tremendous price paid for you and I to live in freedom. To live here. I'm a patriot. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I'm an American. God made me an American. He put me here to live in a free life, to preach the gospel and defend this nation to where my grandkid and other people's grandchildren, whatever, can live the life I lived. Yes. And woe be unto the nation or any man that tries to take that away. Yes. I'll fight today for it. Yes. Yes. And if you don't understand that, then you better understand it. Exactly. You better understand it. And we have a government today. Leaders fighting America first. Make America great again. You say, well, I hate Trump. Well, that don't make any difference who you like or hate. You got to love America. We don't even know what's right and wrong anymore, upside down. What was I going to do? Read these notes. Get me on my soapbox here. Let me read you a couple of things. This is from the wall. How can I forget someone I knew? How can I forget someone I never knew? To me, you were first represented by name on a POWMIA bracelet that I will have worn on and off for years. I got it while I was serving in Okinawa. A few short days ago, I visited the wall for the first time, and I rubbed your name on a couple of pieces of paper. I hope you know I continue to look for a living relative of yours to mail one of the rubbings from the wall. Thank you for your supreme sacrifice. God, that doesn't sound like much or enough. I hope you have received a hero's reward wherever you are. Thank you, Marine. 19-year-old Marine. Dead. Never had a chance to have a family. Never had a chance to have a child. Never had the chance I had. My mom said you were a wonderful woman and would have been my favorite aunt. I just wish I would have actually got to meet you. I promise one day I will make it to the real wall. I have only been to the traveling one, but it makes me feel close to you. I will never forget you. Ain't heady. I will never forget you. I will always miss you. You are the big brother everyone wanted. We were so proud of you when you became the first Eagle Scout in the Troop 822. My son is named after you. We miss you very much, and we love you. 19-year-old guy died. I live 3 hours down the street, I live three houses down from where you lived. I was a lot younger, but you would let me tag along with you when you went fishing in the canal behind our house. You was a friend with my sister, Chris, who was closer to your age. You was a great guy who a lot of kids in our neighborhood respected. I will never forget the day you were killed. I still think of you when I pass by the old house where you lived. You will never be forgotten. Never had a chance to live. I am proud to have known you. I knew you as Butch, the big brother I never had. I will always remember your neighborhood's baseball games and the first time I saw you in uniform. I have thought of you many times through the years. Another Marine. Hello, my brother. I want to thank you for being wonderful to our parents, who loved you and miss you so much, and always a wonderful brother to me. You are so good to us, and I just want to say thank you. We miss you so very much, and even though I was only 6 years old, I remember everything about you. Till we meet again, please give Mom and Dad a big hug. I will always love you. Thank you for serving our country. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a few of them. I quit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
People who all they are now is a name on the wall. Been a long time. They died in the jungle, long way off, fighting for this nation. The only way they knew how. The government said go. A lot of them volunteered, but they went, they fought, paid the ultimate price. Now then, it's okay to be a Vietnam vet. People come up, if I got my hat on, they'll thank me in different things, and do the best, but a little too late, I think. But you can't blame it on this generation. But the thing of it is, we can't let it happen again. We can't let our nation go the way the enemy is trying to take it. We got to be Americans. We have to be Americans. I don't care what your politics is. The Democrat Party used to be a real honorable party. They're not anymore. I'm sorry. They're not. The Republicans are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. But ever since they voted God off their platform, they went down, I mean, terrible. God turned them over to a retrobate mind. Yeah. You can't openly vote God out of your party.
Absolutely.
Three times they voted God out of the party. When they did that night, something came up in my stomach like a knot. I said, oh, my God, what have they done? See, blind, we don't know what we're doing. We have an enemy, very shrewd. He's smart. The only power you and I have at all in this nation is to vote. You may not like a certain person or how they do this, that, and the other, but what do they believe in? What do they believe? And anybody that believes in this nation and believes in God or even acts like they represent God. My brother and sister, we're fighting for the life of this nation. We're fighting for the life of this nation. And so we have to make sure that we stand up like good soldiers. We're in the army of the Lord, and we have to make sure that we take our nation back. I believe we have a reprieve. I'm not the only one that thought that, not the only one said that. There's many prophets have said that. We have a reprieve in this nation for Donald Trump. A reprieve. Now, after that, I don't know what's going to happen. But it's just a matter of time till one of these liberal socialists get in the government. Just a matter of time. We'll be under those who put them in. I can give you a handful of scriptures that tells you that. So you think I'm just up here ratting and raving and all. You better listen.
Absolutely.
We have a reprieve in this nation. We can turn it and we can bring it back. But if we don't, we're teetering on disaster. We brought it here. We let them take prayer out of our schools. Now then, some of the things they're teaching, they're bringing open homosexuals, transvestites in schools, in the elementary schools, and teaching kids on the lifestyles of transvestites. Who would ever thought that that's where we'd be in our nation? And some people don't think it's bad, and that's liberal policies. And what we do, we'll still go to the polls and vote. I don't understand it. They're teaching all kind of ungodly things in our schools. I'm so proud of my granddaughter. She was in school last week, and her teacher was teaching on a holiday that in Mexico they have this holiday or this where they celebrate the dead, the Day of the Dead. And they were teaching that and discussing that, and Morgan put her finger in her ears. And the teacher came over and just stood and stared at her, but she kept her finger in her ears. And so then she handed out a paper, I don't know, had questions or something on it about it, or, you know, or what about that holiday. And Morgan wrote across the top of the paper, "This is stupid." Yeah, she got more sense than they do. And said she wasn't taking it, and said if they tried to make her take it, she's going to ask to be excused. And if they wouldn't let her be excused, she's going to ask she'd go to the bathroom, she wouldn't come back. I said, yeah, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. You stand up, and if you need any help, call me. I'll send Kathy down there. Woe be unto them then. You think as parents, grandparents, we won't shake their tree? I'm not putting up that trash. If you put up with it in public schools, then that's your problem. Let them indoctrinate your child. Send them to these colleges. We have kids here now gone off to some colleges, come back and almost liberals. That's what in the world happened to you. Stupid places. I wouldn't send my dog to one of them. There's good Christian colleges around who teach the Word of God. No wonder the public, all of them say, you got to have a college education. You got to have a college. You know why? Where they can indoctrinate you. Satan knows exactly what he's doing. Learn how to work and get you a job. Glory. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to quit going at it here. It's truth, every bit of it. I apologize for none of it. Amen. I've got one chance. I'm going to use my voice as much as I can. You say, well, you've made me mad. Not my intent to make you mad. My intent is to wake you up. Let you see what our nation is. These crazy people. I can read to you. I was going to preach to you out of Hosea chapter 4 and explain every bit of what I said to you. And it also says in there, one of the things said, when there's no truth in your nation, when they quit preaching truth, he says that your government will be fighting with each other. When truth is not preached, We have a lot of preaching, but I don't know how much truth. Come on up, Penny, and we're going to hand out. Give me a good hand for being such a nice guy. Praise the Lord. Okay. There you go, buddy.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome. You want me to sit down?
No, you don't have to. We're just going to hand these out. We always like to recognize our veterans. It's an honor. I had thought about going into the military myself, but it just didn't work out that way. I think every young man and every young woman, especially every young man, I think should go. That's just my personal opinion. It teaches you things that this world today won't teach you, won't teach them. But I know when Dad was talking yesterday, I've watched many, many documentaries on the Vietnam War. I've read books on the Vietnam War just so I could understand a little bit of what they went through. Because I wasn't there, and I'll never understand it. I will never understand it. But I try to get as much of an understanding as I can. And yesterday when I saw, you know, pastor would walk by, and there would be a man sitting down with his Vietnam hat on, and all of a sudden he'd stand up, and they would salute each other. And just like that, the look in their eye would change. And immediately you could tell they were taken to a place that I will never go. Nobody else will ever go. Pastor will never look at me with the same look that he gave that man. He'll never look at anybody else. But that look that they shared between each other, and they said, "Welcome home. I love you, brother." It's a brotherhood. It is a sacrifice that they had to see so many others make for the privilege of them being able to come home. There were people who died so they could come home and fight for the freedom. That's why it angers me so badly when I see somebody take a knee at the American flag and not in respect. You better stand your tail up and salute that flag like you mean it. It makes me mad. It makes me mad. I'm very glad my dad got to come home so I could be here, but there were many others who didn't. And I think those people who don't have the respect to stand up, we need to ship their little tails on over there. Be like, "You'll stand from now on, I guarantee it." So what I want to do is I want all of our veterans to stand and come up front. We do this every year. You know the drill. So come on up here. We're going to pay you respect and honor that you are due.
Absolutely.
Whether you were in combat, whether you weren't, that is not what is meant. You volunteered your life.
Yes.
And we are so grateful to you, and we thank you. Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord. Is that all we have? Where's Mr. Well-Beloved? Oh, he couldn't come today. Oh, bless.
He's not here today.
We'll pray for him. I know he wasn't feeling well.
He bit and I'm bit.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
To vote. Praise the Lord. So turn to the audience or to the crowd. Thank you, Lucky. And I'm going to have you say your name and branch, if you will. Here, turn around and face everybody, Mr. Volt. We're going to have you. Look how pretty you look. And so if you will, just say your name and what branch of service you were in. And then we'll give you a little special something.
Javote Driggers, I was in the Navy.
Oh. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes. And then just hand it down.
My name is Bubba. I was in the Navy.
Yeah. Steve France, I was in the United States Air Force.
Lucky Reynolds, United States Marine Corps, the best.
Hoorah.
Scott Cassidy, United States Navy.
Yeah. That's
Tom Armuth, Army National Guard.
Amen.
Barney McClure, Gunner in the U.S. Navy.
Hello.
Alan Bradley, Marine Corps and Army.
Hoorah!
Thank you very much.
You tell them Marines, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, thank you all so much. Everybody, give them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, they got me. They know where I've been. Hallelujah. They'll know that by now. Praise the Lord Jesus. We didn't miss anybody, did we? We miss anybody?
Anybody that didn't come up?
Anybody in the Salvation Army?
Does that count?
No.
Hey, I'm going to get me a card. And our pastor.
Oh, yeah.
And the greatest soldier.
Praise the Lord.
Are you going to take me to lunch?
I'm going to give it to Morgan. She earned it. She's been in the trenches.
Yeah, I did tell her. I was like, okay, we need to discuss how to go about. She was like, I put on there. My mom says this is stupid, and I'm not doing it. I'm like, oh. So I'm very proud of her, but we probably need to speak about ways to.
How is she going to address that? Exactly. She got her poppy in there, don't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, maybe, you know. I don't know how she addressed something stupid.
Maybe a little more tactful if I prefer not to study this. We don't believe in this.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that'd be better. Yeah.
Thank you, veterans. We appreciate your
place.
Service. Thank you, Papa.
Yeah, I came from a different place. You can sit down for a minute. I came from a different place. We didn't have much tact. I've never been accused of having much tact, you know. Like I said, when I got born again, I lost half of my vocabulary. And so I don't have that many words that I know to address something. So I just, that's stupid. You know? And maybe that's not the best way of doing it, but sometimes it works, don't it? Maybe it works for me. Don't you try it. Amen. Well, God bless America. We're fighting for our nation. We have a president who believes in America. I wish he had a little more tact. You know? I wish he'd address things a little better, a little different, and not, you know, would probably serve him better. But you remember what is prophesied about him? He'd be like Jehu. And he was a fighter and a warrior. And I think we've come a time in this nation that, you know, we're going to have to just, especially in the spirit realm, you know, fighting in the natural realm and swapping insults for insults and insults don't get anything done. You know, it just creates more insults. And that's what the Bible says. And you're this. No, you're that. No, you're another. You know. So there's a better way of doing it, I think. I want good leaders, male, female, Democrat, Republican. I don't care what they are. If they believe in God and believe in this nation, believe strong in freedom, and we can't allow these people that socialists, we can't even allow. That's so subtle. Satan is so subtle. And we have a generation of young people that don't realize what they're saying. They say, we're going to give you everything, everything's free. Well, really, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what the devil told Eve. That's free apple, eat it. Just eat. But it don't work. And so we love America, don't we? We love our vets. Thank God. Our veterans today, young men, they come home because of Vietnam. War, we don't allow them to be treated bad. We don't allow, now it's pretty flavorful to be, for everybody to say they love our troops. Yeah. Yep. Don't you know, we don't put up with that stuff. It's bad. Somebody had to pay the price, but a lot of times they don't mean it. But anyway, they don't treat them bad. I was getting on an airplane one time, and a young soldier there looked like he's just out of basic. Didn't know anything, and he was getting on the plane, and so they said, here's a soldier, let's let him go on first, and everybody applauded, and I said, where's you people when I come back from Vietnam? Yeah.
Exactly right.
Come on now. I flew stand by, and I mean, they made me stand by. You didn't get on seat. They didn't treat us very good, but anyway, that's water under the bridge. We're here where we're at today, and we got to make it a better place for our kids. Yeah. It's about our kids and our grandkids. Everybody has a different, and everybody has a point of view, and everybody has some kind of soapbox they want to stand on, but when it comes down to it, it's about what gives us freedom. Are they trying to steal our freedom and take away our rights? We don't want that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, stand up with me. And I hope I didn't jar you too bad first right off the bat. So praise the Lord. I really appreciate these young men here. That's just a name on a wall. I was going to see. Yeah, it don't make any difference. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
You guys have a good day. We love you. Take your gift we gave you and go eat. You know, it'll be enough for you and one more. And to leave a good tip. So praise the Lord, we love you. Father, I thank you today for our veterans. Thank you for everyone that served. Didn't have to be in war. You know, the military, Lord, is a machine. It takes a lot of different cogs to turn that wheel. We have to serve in the capacity that they chose for us to serve in. Same way as the body of Christ. It takes all of us performing our duty to make the body of Christ work. And if we're not performing our duty, then there's a breakdown. Something not work, doesn't work. Thank God for those who served in peacetime. They kept it strong. They kept it functioning. They made it to where if we had to go to war, we were strong. Thank God for those who served in battle. They made us free so the others could serve. There's no big and no little in this military, in this army, this even in the natural and in the church. We're all together as one, making it work. God bless America today, Lord. God bless every one of us. The church is what makes it go. It's what makes it work. America's here because of the church, and we have to keep it strong. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. God bless you. We love you so much. Next week, what's your name going to be here? Yo, you going to announce something?